Our mission is to bring hearts back to God. Thank you for listening to this timely message. You can also find additional resources on our website at jesuscenter.com.
All right, well, if you have a Bible, pull it out. And we're going to go through John chapter 1, 6 through 32. And we're going to read the scripture. I'm just going to read through it. You can just follow along. And then we'll go into the rest of it, all right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We're going to start at verse 6, chapter 1. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many who received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of flesh, nor the will of man, but God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me,' and he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now this is the testimony of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem and asked him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am the Christ. I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I'm not." "Are you a prophet?" He said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said this, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor a prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know, and it is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandals, straps, I'm not even worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I've said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I don't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water.'" And then John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who will baptize in the Holy Spirit.' And I have testified that this is the Son of God." Amen. You know, I look at John's story in Scripture, and I realize there is a reason that John's testimony and his life is written in the Word. There's a reason. And we can look at that and learn from this man who had a God-given mission to exalt Jesus Christ. And, you know, who was John the Baptist? We got to really look at that. The gospel gives us some various insights as to who John the Baptist was. First of all, his name was not John the Baptist, okay? And no, he wasn't part of the Baptist denomination, okay? His name was John, okay? And we know that John had parents, according to the Gospel of Luke, his parents were an older couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And his parents descended from a priestly family, Luke 1 through 5. You can read about it. And in Luke's gospel, it says that Elizabeth was barren, not able to have children. In Luke 1:7, it said, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. But God performed a miracle and brought forth John for a special purpose. And in Luke 5 through 25, we find out a lot about John. His birth was announced by an angel. His birth was a miracle. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, and he was prophetically called out and given a mission. And we know that he baptized Jesus, and Jesus wanted to be baptized to fulfill all the law. So we know that John was really kind of a miracle, just called out. But what was John's calling? What was his calling? Look at this, John 1, 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man. Witness, witness, witness. John the Apostle shows us in verse 6 through 9 that the actual calling of John the Baptist was to be a witness. That was his calling. And he was to be a witness to the light. Whose light? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And John was called to be a witness and testify about Jesus Christ. And I like John because John, not only did he witness and testify to Jesus Christ, but he was a truthful witness. God gave John a sign that the Messiah was coming, the very Lamb of God. And he basically said, look, when the Spirit falls and descends and remains, that's the Messiah. That's your sign. And he basically testified of this. Listen to everything that John said about Jesus. It's just so incredible. In John 1 through 23, he said this, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Basically, John is identifying himself as a voice. I'm a voice that has come to testify of Jesus Christ. And that scripture reference actually refers to Isaiah 43. He was saying, Jesus is God. That's what he was testifying. And then he also said in John 1:27, it is he coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to loose. He's saying, Jesus is so great, I'm not even worthy to loose his straps. In John 1:29, he saw Jesus come. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's another reference, actually, to Isaiah 53, 6 through 7 of the coming Messiah. Basically, John is saying, Jesus is the Messiah. The one prophesied about. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one. And then we read this earlier, John 1, 33, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. John was testifying that Jesus is the one who can baptize in the Holy Spirit. He said all of that about Jesus. He testified about Jesus. And John was a true and faithful witness. True and faithful witness. And you know what? Like John, guess what? You're called to be a witness. You are called to be a witness. God always planned on using men and women to bring about his kingdom and to share the gospel. It was always his plan to use you and me to be a witness. There was a man named John. There was a man named Bill. There was a man named Stuart. There was a woman named Kathy. There was a woman named Sarah. You know, God always intended to use us, like John, to be a witness. Now, I'm not saying people can't have a dream or a vision. We know we were hearing testimonies where Muslims in other nations were having dreams, and Jesus was appearing to them and saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that can happen, but that's not the primary way that he goes about advancing his kingdom. He uses people like you and me, and you were born for a special purpose, just like John. You were called to bear witness and testify. Jesus is the light of the world. And we were called to be those witnesses to everyone who's trapped in bondage and sin and darkness, whose destiny is hell. God purposed you to tell them the good news of the gospel and be a witness. God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you, just like John. I remember I was in the marketplace and, I didn't witness. I just live in my life. And all of a sudden, you know, people are like, you know, coming in my office, asking me to pray for them. I'm like, really? People come in and confess their sins. I thought, you know, I'm not a Catholic priest. I don't know why this is happening to me. You know, I couldn't figure it out. But because I was just living my life. You're born to be a witness. How do I know? Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Your life and how you live is a witness. It's a witness to others that God is alive, or at least it should be a witness that he's alive in your life. You know, when I was, I didn't know why people were coming in to confess. I didn't know why people were coming into my office and asking for prayer. And there came a day when God called me out, and he sent me into the ministry and called me out of the marketplace. And I remember when I made the announcement, and I went to all of my staff at work, and I had to go to my boss and all my coworkers, and I'd say, hey, guys, I just want you to know that, well, I don't even know if you understand this, but I'm going to go in the ministry, and basically I'm going to go into full-time ministry. I don't know how to say it to you, but I'm going to go work for the church. And I just expected this backlash, and what do you mean, Kathy? What are you doing? And they just all looked at each other and started nodding. And I thought, well, that's a weird reaction. I was expecting to get rejected. I was expecting them to ridicule me. And they're like, yeah, we can see that. And I thought, really? I thought you guys would be shocked. They go, why should we be shocked, Kathy? We know this about you. They weren't even believers. But they knew just from my life. They could see just in my life, I always prayed for them. I always told them I pray for their spouses, their family. I've always was talking about Jesus. I would share what I was doing on the weekend. You know, it was like, you know, that was my church. That was my peeps, my friends. And I just never thought of them as not saved. I just lived my life as a witness. And God's calling us to do that. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you were chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him, Christ, who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And then there's Matthew 28, right? The classic. And Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. What is that scripture saying? It's saying not only are you called to be a witness, but you're called to make disciples, a follower of Jesus. Now, it's true that you can live your life and you can bear witness that Christ is in your life just by the way you love and the way you live. But you can never really make a disciple until you share the gospel. You can't make a disciple until you actually witness and share the gospel. You're going to have to open your mouth. Like John, you're going to have to testify that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and you're going to have to open your mouth. And Romans 10:14 says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him who they have not heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And you know, that word preach actually means to proclaim, which is what John the Baptist did. He proclaimed, he was a faithful witness declaring Jesus Christ was God, and in doing so, he pointed people to Christ. And I'm not saying you guys, you got to get weird, wear camel hair, start eating locusts and honey, okay? We're not getting weird, right? Brian's like, man, I was looking forward to that, locusts and honey. But, you know, Jesus sat with sinners and he ate with them. And his actions are suggesting to us that our witness to non-believers should start with friendship. It's got to start with friendship. But eventually, you're going to have to open your mouth and testify to be a witness. You just have to. You're going to have to articulate the essentials of the gospel. The gospel, basically, technically, is just the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The essential elements of the gospel, all of us should be able to articulate that. What are they? Number one, man was created in the image of God. Number two, God is love and he's merciful, but he's just. Number three, man is a sinner. He can't save himself. Number four, God solved the problem by sending Jesus Christ, and Christ paid for the debt of our own sin. He rose again and made a way for us to have a relationship with God. That's salvation. I like how Paul said it in Galatians 2:20. God, in his great love, sent his own son to come down from heaven and die on the cross in our very place. And Paul personalized it by saying, Christ loved me and he gave himself for me. And John the Baptist said it this way, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are the essentials of the gospel, and all of us need to be able to articulate the gospel. You know, we really do. And you don't have to be an expert either. You know, I used to do an outreach. Every Friday night, I'd go to the movie theater and hang out with a bunch of high school kids. And, you know, it was in Orange County, and parents would drop their kids off at the movie theater, but they never went to the movie theater. They took the $100 and hung out at the park and drank and smoked and tried different things. And, you know, some of them, you know, just didn't do any of that. They just walked around trying to be cool. You know, they were just being cool. You know, they had a cool leather jacket, you know, studs. You know, I used to talk to them and say, wow, that's a great looking jacket. You looking cool. You know, you're looking amazing. You're looking rad. And they're like, yeah, I put these studs on all by myself. You know, they were junior high kids. You know, they were trying to look cool. And then, you know, they would do drugs. They would get drunk. You know, some of them would come to me. I'd have to pray for them. And I would always bring pizza. Every Friday night, I went to the pizza parlor, handed out pizza, and I got a reputation among the high schools as the Jesus freak pizza lady. You're the Jesus freak pizza lady. I remember you. Yeah, I heard about you. They talk about you at school. Oh, man. And, you know, every time somebody gave their life to Christ, I never saw them again. And I always knew that was a good thing. I always saw it as a good thing. They stopped hanging out there. And I remember one night, this kid was walking behind me as I was leaving. And I finally turned around. It was this junior high kid. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, fine. And I said, I don't have any more pizza. You know, we handed it all out. I don't have any more. But, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And he goes, yeah. And I go, what do you want? He goes, I want to know God. And I remember trying to articulate the essentials of the gospel to him. And I think I left out the resurrection completely. And you know, he still got saved. You know why? Because it's the mystery of the Godhead working together that brings about a Christian, that brings about a believer. And you have a part and God has a part, right? You don't have to be an expert. Nobody has to be an expert. But you do have to open your mouth. You know, John the Baptist was commissioned with a godly mission, and so are we. And he was faithful to the calling to bear witness and that Jesus was the light of the world. And I just, you know, will it be said of you and me that we were a faithful witness? John was a humble witness. You know, he never pointed people to himself, but he always pointed them to Jesus. These days, I'm telling you, as believers, we get so enamored with the Christian superstars, don't we? We put them on a pedestal, and honor goes right into idolatry. And, you know, if God starts using someone in a powerful way, and, you know, we put them on this pedestal, and all of a sudden we're following these speakers, and we're following these people, but we're not following Jesus. Jesus is long gone. We're just following people. And I remember one time there was an evangelist named Todd White, and he was doing a conference in Orange County, and everybody was just like, Todd, Todd, Todd. And finally he got on the stage, and he goes, you guys, stop it. You're freaking me out. Stop it. I'm just a man. It's about Jesus. I remember that happened in another conference with Heidi Baker, and she called people forward that wanted to be laid down lovers and witnesses for Jesus Christ. And when she made that altar call, everybody ran towards her. And she goes, no, don't do this, please. I'm just a witness. Go to Jesus. And you know, John was humble like that. He pointed everybody to Jesus. In verse 19 through 20, when they asked him, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not. In verse 21, when they asked him, are you a prophet? He said, no. In verse 23, when they asked him, who are you? His response is, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Basically, I'm here to witness and testify Jesus is the Son of God. And in verse 27, he's like, his sandals, I'm not even worthy to loose them. He declared, look, I'm not even worthy of the light of Christ. And this one was amazing. Later, the Apostle John actually recorded this comment by John the Baptist. John 3, 25 through 30 said, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. And the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete, and he must increase, and I must decrease. So you know what John is saying? He's like, look, I'm only a friend of the bridegroom's. That's all I am. And who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. And who's the bride, according to Ephesians? It's the church. So it's a picture of a wedding. So the bridegroom, Christ, is watching his beautiful bride. Listen, at the end of it all, there's going to be a wedding. There is going to be a wedding. And Jesus is watching his beautiful bride, and she's without wrinkle, without spot. She's coming down the aisle. And then, can you imagine the friend of the bridegroom, the best man, and going down and grabbing the bride and drawing the bride to himself? What is the bridegroom going to do? What's he going to do with that? No, John would never do that. You know why? Because John was a humble witness, an example to us all. How to be that humble witness. And seriously, if you see a speaker, a preacher, a teacher pointing to themselves and not to Christ, run, Forrest, run. Run. Right? Because when we witness and testify like John, we want to point people to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let's all do that. Let's live our lives first, pleasing unto God as an example to others. But when we do share, let's point people to Jesus. And you know, when you share the good news of the gospel with people, you can always just start with your testimony. It's so simple. You just start with your testimony. You just be humble. You're honest. Let me give you a couple points on testimony. Number one, just pray. Ask God. He'll help you articulate. Number two, sin. You know, tell people why you considered Christ and how you recognize you need a Savior, okay? I'm not saying go into every single little gory detail, you know? And because, you know, but you do need to share what happened to you. Why? Why did you decide you needed Christ? And then tell them the solution. You're going to have to articulate the gospel. You didn't come up with the solution for all sin and all mankind on your own. No, this was purchased by Jesus on the cross. So focus your testimony. Point people to Jesus. avoid church words, okay? People don't know what you're talking about. I remember one time I was at work and I said the word tithe and this lady goes, "What's that?" I go, "Yeah, what is that?" No. Anyway, so I had to, you know, explain that, you know, so we can avoid that. And then stay focused, you know, be respectful of people's time. You know, I mean, I've seen this happen where people are coming up there like, da 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 da, and the person goes, you know, let's be respectful of people's time. And then focus and just be honest. Most people really like someone who's just sincere and honest. And then share what God's doing in your life now. I mean, what's happened in your life since you decided to make Jesus Lord? And like John, in our witness, let us be known as a friend of the bridegroom. Amen. The other thing I loved about John as I was kind of studying all this out is John was such a courageous witness. Oh, man, he had courage. He had courage. He had a message he boldly proclaimed of the coming of the kingdom and the Messiah, which he testified was Jesus Christ. He also preached the need for repentance. If anybody tells you you don't need to repent, walk out, because it ain't true. All right? He preached the need for repentance, and he boldly spoke the truth, and guess what? He had no desire to be politically correct. He just boldly spoke the truth. And his message of righteousness in the end, it actually cost him his life. It cost him his life. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 14. I know we recently even had Sama Habib in here, who was a former Muslim and gave her life to Christ. And she became a really bold witness, and it cost her. It cost her. But one of the most recently, the most courageous witnesses I've actually seen were the 9 people, both men and women, at Umpqua Community College in Oregon. In light of certain death, they did not deny Christ or their faith, but they said, "Yes, I am a Christian." Courageous witnesses. It's not always easy to be a witness. Sometimes you need courage to be a witness. It's not always easy to just step out and share your faith either. I get it. I get this. It takes courage. But to overcome fear we all experience when approaching someone with the gospel, we need a conviction, a strong belief that God has given us something to say that people desperately need. We need that conviction if we're going to overcome fear. And that conviction will actually free us from fear if we have that conviction. And John was a man of conviction filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You're filled with the Holy Spirit if you know Jesus Christ, believed on him, and are a child of God. And John had a zeal. He preached. He declared Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only one that can save you from your sin. He's the light of the world. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't really have a conviction. We don't have that conviction. I'm going to illustrate it with this story. There was a man on a luxury liner, okay? And suddenly, he fell overboard. And he couldn't swim, and in desperation, he began calling out, "Help, help, help, help." Now, it just so happened there were several would-be rescuers on deck who witnessed the incident. Well, the first man, when he saw the man fall overboard, immediately he reached into his briefcase, pulled out a book on how to swim, and tossed it to him. And he yelled, "Brother, read this book. Just follow the instructions, and everything will be all right." And then the next man, when he saw the man fall overboard, immediately he jumped into the water. He started swimming around him and said, "Watch me and do what I do. Everything will be all right." When the next person looked up the drowning man's situation, he was very concerned. He said, "Hold on, friend. Help's on the way. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to talk about your problem, assess the situation, see if we have finances available to help you." Then there was the next man. He represented the school of just positive thinking. And he yelled at the man, "Drowning man, friend, this situation's not as bad as you think. Just think dry. Think dry. The next man yelled at him, don't worry. If you've sown a seed of $1,000, breakthrough's on the way. Help is on the way. Then the next man, he led a lot of revival meetings. And the drowning man, he saw him go down for the third time. He came up gasping and waving his arms. And he said to him, yes, brother, I see. I see that hand. Is there another? And finally, the last man on deck, without fear, plunged into the water. At the risk of his very own life, he pulled the drowning man to safety. You see, it was his conviction this was the only way to save the drowning man. And this is a picture of what Jesus did for us. And this is a picture of what he's calling us to do for others. This is what he's calling, even at the risk of our own lives. And we need a conviction. We need a strong belief that will free us from fear. We must have a conviction that Jesus is who he said he was, that he conquered sin and death. We have to have a conviction that he came that all men might be saved. Right? That without him, our destiny is hell. But with him, our destiny is heaven. We have to have a conviction. We have to have a conviction, a strong conviction that our message is so important, so relative, so urgent, so imperative, and so necessary, and so true that we're willing to be the humble, faithful, courageous witness, just like John the Baptist. And we have to be able to articulate the gospel. And we have to be able to have that conviction that compels us, the urgency, the hour to be the bold witness. And let me just tell you something. If you lack conviction, if you lack courage in this area, I'm here to testify God can give it to you. He can give it to you. I mean, I remember even when my husband, I've told this story so many times, my husband said, honey, I think God's called us to the nations and missions. And I said, I like Mission Viejo. I had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't want to do bugs. I didn't want to rough it. I still don't, but I do for Jesus. Amen. I remember I was an outreach pastor at a church a long time ago, And I realized it kind of struck me at one point that I really didn't care. Now, that's not good for a pastor who's trying to encourage people to go out and share their faith. But basically, I had to just get honest. I don't really care. Like, I'm grocery shopping. I don't really care. I got things to do. I don't care. I finally just said, God, I don't really care about the lost. I just don't. I know I should. I know your Bible says I should. I know people tell me I should. I know people preach at me and said I should. But really, I don't. And I'm just being honest with you, God. You're going to have to do something here. I have no conviction to be a witness for you. I don't even care. You can imagine a pastor going, I don't care, but I really don't. And so I had to get honest with God. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me a conviction, courage. You're going to have to do something to me, to my heart. You're going to have to change me. Well, it was 3 months later in a meeting that the presence of God came and a man came through, an itinerant minister, and he laid hands on me. And when he did, I fell down under the power of the Spirit, and I went into an immediate encounter. And I began to see people falling off a cliff into hell. And I began to hear their screams, and I began to hear their cries, and I began to be shaken by this encounter of the reality that people are dying without Jesus. And it wrecked me. And suddenly the Lord said, I created man in my image. And right then I knew that every person I see, every person I encounter was created in the image of God, whether they're saved or not. He created them and he loves them and he died for them. And the destiny without him is different than the destiny with him. And then I had a conviction. And when we lack courage and conviction, even when you get busy in the church like I am, you know, like Daniel said this morning, it was such a good illustration. He said, sometimes when lights are always together and they never go out in the darkness, they start kind of picking on each other, looking at each other, and, you know, their light starts to grow dim. But when you get out there in the darkness, your light begins to shine even brighter. And God's called us to proclaim his excellencies. He's called us to declare who he is, like John the Baptist. And I don't know about you, but, you know, like John, we don't have to fear living with a radical focus on a God-given mission. We don't have to fear it. The Lord's with you. Guess what? This was never your idea. It was the Lord's to use you, not yours. And, you know, like I said, it's the mystery of the Godhead. Working together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that bring about a follower of Jesus Christ. You only have a part. And believe me, you have the easy part. All you have to do is open your mouth. That's it. And declare the gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, as I'm preaching this, I'm just realizing if you're here and you've never received Jesus, or you're in that place where you've run the opposite direction, but now you need to run back, we're going to give you an opportunity to run back. Amen? So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for the example given by John the Baptist. Lord, we tell you right now that we want to be that humble, faithful, courageous witness. Lord, where we're lacking it in any way, Lord, change our hearts. Change our hearts. Give us boldness. Make us that humble, courageous witness for you, God. Lord, I just pray that even that song, you make all things new. And Lord, just even if we've grown cold in this, where we haven't had a passion, where we need that conviction, I pray, God, that you would move on every heart here and bring about a conviction.
Please tune in again next week as we bring hearts back to God. The Jesus Center meets in two locations every Sunday. We welcome you to join us in Redondo Beach at 10 a.m. or Torrance at 6 p.m. For more information on where and when we meet, log on to our website at jesuscenter.com.